We're here. Welcome to Robin's Nest. Welcome. Thank you. It has taken a little bit to get here, but we are here.
Yes, we are.
Thank God for Carly.
Shout out to Carly doing all the things.
She really helped do all the back office stuff to help me because I'm not really very techie. But here we are. And we have our first guest, which is my firstborn daughter, Arlie Isabel Nekowitz. And I'm very grateful that you agreed to do this with me. So thank you very much.
Oh my goodness. Of course. I feel honored. I feel honored to be the first guest on Robin's podcast, Robin's Nest. What made you decide to do this? Like prompted this?
Well, so many things. I was thinking about, you know, I wrote a parenting book because I had a lot to say about parenting. Mm-hmm. And as I've grown older, I notice I have a lot to say about a lot of things. And since I don't really want to write another book or another 10 books, I thought I'll start a podcast and start bringing different guests on and just have different conversations about all the things that are on my mind. And I thought it would be best to start with you because the podcast is in fact called Robin's Nest. And, you know, it made sense to me to start with my own family, for people to kind of get to know my nest. And my nest is, you know, your dad and you and Zoe and Nugget. So I thought I would start with you and move on down and then start to bring the friends in. That's why I decided to start.
That's it.
Yes.
I'm excited for you. I think this is going to be really fun. I think the audience is going to love this. Everyone who knows you have a lot to say.
I do.
I'll tell you,
honestly, something happened this week at Wegmans, and all I could think of is this is the reason you have a podcast, or you're about to have a podcast.
What happened at Wegmans?
I went to Wegmans, and I had not been to Wegmans in probably 20 years, and a couple people in my life had said, you know, you should go to Wegmans. I think you would love Wegmans. They have a lot of vegetarian food, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, now, as many people who know me know, I shop at Aldi. I love Aldi, right? Love Aldi for so many reasons, but mostly because it's small and it's very reasonably priced and you can get a whole lot of groceries for a little bit of money. But I like to go occasionally to a fancier place and get some fancier food and spend a little quan on it. It's fine.
Right.
So you know how I value food. Mm-hmm. So I go to Wegmans. And all I can tell you is I hated this experience so much. It was way too big. Okay. It was ridiculously expensive. And I was having such a reaction to this place that I was stopping random people in the aisles.
No. Why?
To tell them how unhappy I was to be there. I am not even kidding. So I am like randomly telling people, seriously, $6 for bagels? I can get these bagels at Aldi for $1.49.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was so ridiculous. I was having such an absolutely ridiculous overreaction to the supermarket experience. I must have stopped at least 3 people to tell them about it. And then the poor cashier asked me how it was going and how I liked it.
Of course you tell them.
I tell them because I take people literally. If they ask me how it's going, I'm going to tell them. Yeah. So I tell this poor cashier, this 20-year-old cashier, how it was the worst experience ever. I will never step foot in the supermarket again. And she's like, yeah, I understand. I then get in the car and I feel compelled to text the people that had recommended Wegmans to me to tell them how unhappy I am. And I'm driving home from this Wegmans experience thinking, this is really an overreaction. I mean, most people are not feeling this strongly about a supermarket. And then I realized I feel this strongly about absolutely everything. Right? Yes. So I thought I should really, this is good that I have this podcast because, you know, a lot of people are overthinkers. Me? I am an, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're an overthinker. I am an overfeeler. Mm-hmm. I am, yes, like a, yeah, I'm like a walking feeling all the time. And feeling and reacting to everything that's happening in my world, and it's very overwhelming, and I need an outlet, and it's called Robin's Nest.
And here it is.
We have arrived.
We have found the outlet.
Listen at your own risk.
Please listen at your own risk. Oh,
yes.
It's going to be a trip.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that we would start talking about our family a little bit.
Yes.
Because I think our family's a little bit different than a lot of families. And I know that, you know, when I was raising you and it was very deliberate in my parenting, and then you were getting ready to go to kindergarten, and I kind of had a little mini meltdown because I felt like, wow, you know, we've had this kind of protective cocoon for the first 5 years of your life, and now you were going out into the real world and you were going to meet other families. And I'm not saying that these other families are less than our family. I'm not saying that in any way. I was very aware that it was going to be a very different experience. Mm-hmm. And so here you are, senior in college. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, from kindergarten through senior in college, what has your experience been? Like, what was it like being in our family, being the oldest daughter in our family? And how has it compared, you know, as you've gone out in the world, how has it served you or not served you?
Well, that's a loaded question.
There's a lot of questions in there.
Starting from kindergarten. Well, let's start in kindergarten, because I remember the vivid story that you always tell of mm-hmm. when I went to kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You obviously had all these fears, like you had just mentioned, and I came home, like, I guess it was the first day or mm-hmm. week or whatever it was. And I came home and I said that this girl had kicked my book bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't crying or anything, but no, I was upset.
You just told me about it. Matter of fact,
this girl kicked my book bag, basically, mm-hmm. like whatever. And you were like, what? Like mm-hmm. you couldn't believe it. And you were like, what are you going to do about it? And I was mm-hmm. like, well, I guess I'll tell the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like that first moment, I think, for you, and I don't obviously remember, mm-hmm. But of that I'm going into the world, and mm-hmm. you have set this kind of stage for the first 5 years of our, and we're not perfect by any means, but our,
not
our,
by any means,
by any means but of our, like, little, like you said, cocoon, and I was then pushed into the world. Someone mm-hmm. kicked my book bag on the first day of school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, here we go.
Taste of violence.
My first taste of violence.
Right?
Yeah. I think
people kick things. Like, right. You know, that was not your experience here.
Right. Yeah. I had no experience mm-hmm. of any sort of violence or any sort of yelling or anything like that. Mm-hmm. As soon as I noticed how different friends of mine or different classmates of mine were raised, but I don't think I fully got it until I left for college.
Okay.
I think in high school I did, because I remember being in a couple classes where I would just see students who were exhausted or who mm-hmm. were using drugs to cope or XYZ. And it was not something, because I was blessed to be in the family that we have, mm-hmm. that I didn't know that that really existed, to be quite honest. I was just kind of ignorant to other people's experiences because of my upbringing in our family, which was so full of love and so full of care,
mm-hmm.
that when I saw these other people mm-hmm. hurting a lot, mm-hmm. It was overwhelming. It was upsetting. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, heartbreaking. Yeah. And I, then when I got to college and I really saw how people were responding to different things with the freedom now that they had,
mm-hmm.
That was also a little bit shocking. And it wasn't necessarily, and I'm not necessarily like just saying drugs and alcohol, I'm not saying anything like that, but I was hearing mm-hmm. stories of parents, or I was meeting people and they were telling me about their parents, and I was just like, I was just, I don't know what the word other than surprised, shocked, sad. There's a lot of hurt mm-hmm. out there that I don't think through our family and in our circle of people mm-hmm. that I really understood mm-hmm. until I was thrust into college. So there was a lot of pros from being in our family, obviously, like through mm-hmm. all of that there, I mean, received a lot of love, a lot of support, mm-hmm. You know, all of those things helped me have this greater understanding of I have the support system to see the world in different ways. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we didn't have a perfect like family. Mm-hmm. Like we had a lot of structure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like that structure was absolutely necessary and great. And most of the times it was, but some of the structure, especially when I was living at home mm-hmm. was frustrating. Maybe that's just because I was a teenager mm-hmm. and wanted freedom. And mm-hmm. in our family, it was very much, where are you going? What are you doing? Tell mm-hmm. me everything. I want to know everything. Mm-hmm. You have to be home at such and such a time, no later. Very, very, very structured, a lot of limits. Mm-hmm. And I think in the moment in high school and during that time, it got like, we talk about it like summer shift. What mm-hmm. summer shift for us was the summer I was going into college mm-hmm. from senior year, because I wanted more freedom and I wanted to do mm-hmm. my own thing. Mm-hmm. But because I live in your family and in your mm-hmm. house with dad, mm-hmm. it was your rules. Mm-hmm. And having that, being in college and now 4 years later, I have a lot mm-hmm. of appreciation for that. Mm-hmm. But at the time, mm-hmm. it was like, but my friends are staying out later. But my mm-hmm. friends are going XYZ. They can mm-hmm. drive to mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. Why won't you let me? Right. So, but again, I think because I have so much hindsight vision now that I've been out of the house for a long time, I have much more appreciation than I did being in the house, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, and for me, I mean, I think that all of that was by design. And I definitely think that it was, you know, I'm proud of it. I mean, I think that parenting you guys is definitely probably the thing I'm the most proud of in my life. I really set out to parent you in a very different way than I was parented. There were things about my own parenting that did not work for me. And I really wanted to make sure that you did not have some of those experiences that I had. And I think though that sometimes there was an overreach, you know, like there was I always say that I set out to parent you and Zoe in a way that you did not have you don't have the same issues that I have. Like if you have different issues than me, I will consider it a success because we're human beings and we're imperfect. And I have no doubt that I made a lot of parenting mistakes along the way, but I also feel like I just wanted to break the cycle of the kinds of issues that have been in my family for a very long time. And so if you had issues like, wow, mom, you were a little much at times with the limits, I'll sort of gladly take that because I didn't always feel paid attention to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anything, you guys have always complained about that I pay too much attention sometimes. I care a little too much. And yeah, I can totally see that. I was by no means a helicopter parent. I was always, you know, encouraging your independence, but I cared deeply and parented very deliberately. And so, yeah, I can see why there would be both good and bad to that.
There is a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just lots of limits. I'm like trying to place myself back into 16-year-old me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm sure Zoe will be able to speak a little. Zoe's my sister, younger sister. She's a freshman. So she I'm sure it's much more recent in her mind.
She's a very different child. And I think that I think it's really, I think that one of the most important things in parenting is to recognize that you have very different children, and what one child needs is not necessarily what the other child needs. And so there are certain things that I actually wished I had given Zoe even more limits in some ways. And because I think that she really needed more limits. And I think that maybe I overreached with limits with you.
That's very interesting, because that's interesting. That's interesting you say that. yeah, I would agree in some cases. I'm not sure we need to bring up specifics, but I don't know if that's something that we want to do.
I don't know that the listeners care.
Okay, I don't think the listeners care, so never mind. But yeah, I think that also being the oldest, I took on this role of responsibility at times, not necessarily anything you did, but I think that I, and my temperament and just who I am as a person, is very much more structured in and of myself. Like, I'm just someone who likes what she does, and I don't necessarily need to, like, I admire Zoe so much because she's more of this, I want to try, I want to go and talk to everyone, and I want, and she's super creative and has all of this energy, right? I am not necessarily like that in the way that she is. I much more, and I have my own creativity and all of that stuff, but I'm much more someone who is already organically structured. So sometimes when there was your structure on top of that, I kind of felt, I guess, stuck sometimes, because there was just nowhere for me to move, because I had my own things, and then I had the limits of the house. So I think that's interesting that you say that, because I don't know if I've necessarily heard you say that before.
Oh, well, you're learning all kinds of things. We love that on Robin's Nest. I also learned a lot about biology in parenting.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really believed before I had children that, you know, it was much more nurture versus nature. Like that, you know, that children are kind of blank slates, and the kind of parenting that you do really shapes who they become. And I learned very quickly that you are born who you are, period. You know, and that parenting helps to nurture. It's part of the solution or part of the problem in terms of how they, how the child grows. But you are who you are. You're not going to change somebody. Right. And you were born this way. If I could quote Lady Gaga. And Zoe was born the way she was born, and I was born the way I was born, and my brother was born the way he was born. Everyone is just kind of comes in with a certain set of personality traits that don't change all that much. And that was a big learning curve for me as a parent. I had been teaching parenting skills and doing all of that before I had kids. So it took... It was a learning curve to learn that, you know, the best parenting in the world doesn't change a child's personality. And I think that if there's anything that I would say to the younger set out there, the younger parents out there, is to really get to know. I think the greatest gift that you can give your kids is to really get to know who they are and what they need, and tailor your parenting to that particular child, instead of either parenting the way you were parented, or parenting in reaction to the way you were parented, or parenting in a cookie cutter kind of way. But to really get to know each child and figure out, this child needs a lot more limits, or this child needs a lot more freedom, because they already have an internal set of limits all the time.
Right, right.
But, you know, that only comes with experience. You know, there's really, it's on the job training, as they say. So switching gears.
Yes.
You're at Temple. You're a senior.
Temple University in Philadelphia. Some of your listeners might not know.
Temple University in Philadelphia. Right. For those of you who are
the listeners
who are listening from Australia, so you're a senior. What are you majoring in? Tell the listeners.
Thank you so much. So I am a psychology major. Surprise, surprise. Also want to be a therapist. Surprise, surprise.
I think you're going to be a great therapist. I think that therapists are better chosen than trained, as Urban Yalom, who's a famous psychiatrist, would say. And you are very much a born healer. So I think that you will be an outstanding therapist someday, and I'm getting ready to retire. not literally. I have clients listening. Not literally. But certainly in the next 20 years, I'll be retiring, right, and I can just pass the baton. That's awesome.
That means a lot coming from you, because you are an amazing therapist.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Laura. I appreciate it. So what has it been like at Temple in the age of COVID?
What has it been like? It's been like everything. Every day is a different event. So we all came back at the beginning of this year. So I'm an RA, I'm a resident assistant. So I had to come back in the beginning of August for training. Training was all online, and then residents moved in. They were here for about 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And then they were told our cases started rising. They were told that they could go home and get a full refund, or that they could stay. Majority of students went home to full refund. They just got 3 free weeks of school and food, basically, and living. But they went home, and then we were told that we were going to stay where we are. But then last week, we were told that we are going to be consolidating into a different building. So 3 buildings on campus are going to the south side of campus, all of that to say, it's been a little bit of a lot. It's been an ever-changing process. But I have gone through, emotionally wise, with this whole situation. Let's just talk about from coming to school, how it's been at school. I have been frustrated. I've been angry. I've been sad. I've been not doing well. And now I'm trying to take the approach, if I could quote you.
The great Robin Kevlis.
The great Robin Kevlis Nekwitz. You told me a metaphor that I have now incorporated into my everyday life. And the metaphor, if I could get this right, please interrupt me if I'm wrong.
It's hard to quote somebody when they're actually writing.
Right.
It's a little stressful.
It's a little hard. It's a little stressful. But the gist was, because I am I don't want to move, or I don't know why we're here, or why are the students leaving? Not why are the students leaving, but why did they come here in the first place? They're not following the rules. They're having gatherings. They're not wearing their masks, blah, blah, blah. And you said, Arlie, calm down, calm down. And think of it like you're in a boat, a canoe, and you're taking your oars and you're paddling against the tide. And it's so hard and difficult because you're going against the grain, basically. And then you said, put the oars in the boat and just roll with it. Go down
the river.
Where the
current takes you.
Yeah. Go where the current takes you. So I am doing that, and
that's what 2020 is all about.
That's what I mean. 2020 has been the worst, but I'm trying to do that. So it's been a lot, to say the least. What has COVID and college been like? It's been a lot, and professors are a lot, and I think professors are trying to figure it out. And in the meantime, a lot of them are assigning more work to try and overcompensate for the fact that we're not in person. And just online classes, difficult and different, and all of that on top of my RA job. I work another job. And I also want to have time for myself and have time with my friends. So it's also a balancing act of trying to balance my life. And I'm a senior.
Yeah. So how do you feel about being a senior and moving on with your life?
Oh, gee. I feel scared, but I also feel ready. Part of me is terrified, and part of me is like, I'm done with undergraduate school. but I think, like we were talking, and I was thinking about grad school, because to become a therapist, you need to go to grad school, get your license. And the thought of completing graduate school applications in a time like this set me over. And I decided that I'm taking a gap year, because I simply cannot think about another thing of completing something else. And obviously a counseling program is very much the field is relationship based, and I don't want to take classes online for my counseling master's degree, right? So I think that this is a time of great transition and change, and I don't necessarily do well with that, as you very well know, ever since I was in your womb.
Right.
I was two and a half weeks late. Mm-hmm. And that has stayed with me. Mm-hmm. I like what I like. I like where I am, and I don't want to deal with the changing times. Mm-hmm. But the times come and you need to deal with them. So mm-hmm. it's just a process, and I'm trying to work through it, do what's best for me and my mental health, because that's the most important thing.
You're taking a self-care approach.
I'm taking a self-care approach because, quite honestly, 2020 needs to stop. We just all need to stop, mm-hmm. but life continues to move, even though nothing's the same.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about 2020, but I'm going to save that for another podcast. Yes.
I was just going to ask you how you're feeling about me being here and all of that jazz.
I'm feeling great about you being there. I think that although both you and your sister are not having the college experience you expected, you're having a college experience. And it is going to be one that you're going to talk to your grandchildren about, you know, what it was like to be away at college during a pandemic. And I think you're learning a lot while you're there. I think you're learning a lot about acceptance, radical acceptance, one of my favorite skills. You know, I think that 2020 in many ways is all about radical acceptance. And there's so much coming at us all the time. And I'm not saying that I handle it well every minute. God knows anyone that follows me on Facebook knows that I am not handling it well every minute. But I haven't lost sight of the bigger picture, which is that we are going through it right now. And, you know, I think 2020, which means, you know, clear vision. If you have 2020 vision, you have clear vision. I think that 2020 is really a time of getting clear about what's important, slowing way down. Radical acceptance. What can we do? How can we participate in the process? What's important to us personally? What's important to us politically? So I feel like you and your sister are having an experience that is just different. And I think that the more we try to hold on to the old paradigm, the more unhappy we're going to be. And there's nothing normal about what's happening. There's nothing normal about what's happening politically. There's nothing normal about what's happening with COVID. There's nothing normal about this time of our lives. So we get to decide how we're going to react to it. We can't control any of it. So we get to decide how we're going to manage the fact that we can't control any of it. So I think that that's really an important education to have at this age that you're at. I think it's an important lesson for all of us, but I think especially as young women starting your life, I think it's really important to, you know, to learn this lesson. I just think you're learning a lot of lessons on acceptance and going with the flow and having to shift gears and be flexible. And wow, I didn't think I could do online classes, but look, I can do online classes. And I thought I would be really isolated, but I'm not really isolated. You get used to things. Like even in my practice, I did not think I was going to be able to get used to Zoom sessions. I mean, I did not become a therapist to talk to people over the internet, but it's really been okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of lessons in it. So I feel good that you guys both made the decision to stay. And mm-hmm. I think there's more lessons to come.
I do too. And what's your episode next week?
Next week, I will be meeting with the other offspring, Zoe Faith Beckowitz, who may have a very different perspective of life in the Beckowitz family. She had a very different experience, I think. Well, I think that in some ways it's very similar, and in other ways it's different because she's very different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to having lots of different guests on and talking about all different kinds of issues. There's so many things I want to talk about, like not just parenting, but friendship. You know, I have a lot of very interesting, different friends. I have my friend Lori, who has agreed to come on, who's very similar to me. And I have my friend Jill, who everyone knows as my bestie, who's very complimentary to me. She's very different, but in a very yin and yang kind of way. We are literally wearing the same nail polish today. And we picked it independently of one another. And then I have Aunt Maureen, who sort of begrudgingly agreed to come on. I'm not sure she's going to follow through, but you know, that's probably been the most strange relationship. We're the most unusual of friends. We're very, very different. And yet the relationship has lasted 25 years, something like that, with its ups and downs for sure. And I also want to have my friend Penny on, who is a long hauler of COVID survivor, and Bonnie Koss, who's done a lot of social justice type of work. And it's just a lot to talk about, So I think that we should wrap up.
All right. You just spoke facts right there.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you'll be a guest again.
I would love to if you have me. Absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me on. I feel honored.
Absolutely. So. And I also forgot to mention earlier that one of the things that really motivated me, or inspired me, I should say, to do this podcast is that you are doing a podcast with your friend Carly called Growing Pains. It is so good. It's so good that I was a little intimidated that my podcast won't be nearly as interesting. So I definitely recommend everybody to check it out, Growing Pains.
Thank you. You can find us on Spotify, absolutely, Apple Music, anywhere you listen. And also, just to plug the Instagram real quick, it's at growingpains_pod. We would love it if you checked it out.
Yes. And please check out Robin's Nest, which I believe is Robin's_nest_pod on Instagram. Thank you. And you can also find me on Facebook at Parent Assist and on Instagram at Parent Assist One. And this is actually not only going to be broadcast as a podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Anchor, but you're also going to be able to actually see this being recorded, because we're doing it on Zoom. So anyone that wants to actually watch it and not just listen can go to YouTube, and I will be getting that information shortly as to where you can find that.
Hit that follow button. Go follow her on all the things.
So I hope that you guys will stay tuned and stay with me here at Robin's Nest. And I want to thank Arlie for being my first guest, my guinea pig. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Love you.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone.